This audio interview with Belinda Virgo was recorded on 19 September 2018 in Cowra by Nikkei Australia's Mayu Kanamori and Masako Fukui. This interview was recorded for the Cowra Voices geolocative storytelling app, created in 2019 and launched to coincide with the 75th anniversary of the Cowra breakout. For more information, please refer to the overview in this archive.
Hello, my name is Belinda Virgo and I'm the manager down at the Cowra Visitor Information Centre. So standing here at the entrance to the Australian and the Japanese War Cemeteries, you can see what a beautifully designed space it is. Looking up above you, you can see the gorgeous avenue of flowering trees that in springtime are, without a doubt, the most beautiful blossoming trees that we have in Cowra, and also arguably the most photographed as well. So springtime is certainly a time that lots of people like to visit and take some photos of such a gorgeous space whilst they are, of course, paying their respects. Now, this space to me is really where the reconciliation story of Cowra began, of course, as we know with the RSL sub-branch back in the day after World War II, maintaining the graves of the Japanese soldiers. It really is where the whole story started, of course, and the beginning of the understanding that went beyond the actual, perhaps it went against the social norm at the time and what was expected. And I often reflect on the actions of those men that started the story that we continue to tell today. So the story, it's a story of understanding. It's a story of reconciliation, and it really is a story of humanity. So back after World War II, the members of the Cowra RSL sub-branch maintained the war graves of the Japanese soldiers, which, from my understanding, certainly went against what was socially acceptable perhaps during that time. And that was really, in terms of the whole Cowra story and the POW breakout and our war history, the beginning of the Cowra Peace Precinct and the story that we continue to share with people today. So standing here at the entrance, my eyes are always drawn to the actual entrance to the Japanese War Cemetery, which was designed back in 1964 by Shigeru Ira. And it's interesting to learn that the entrance itself was designed very strategically. Oh, gosh, that's the wrong word. The entrance itself was designed strategically to allow the visitor to make a conscious decision to actually enter through to the Japanese War Cemetery. So back in 1964, the design took into account the social sensitivity that was around the Japanese soldiers after World War II. And if you have a look and you see the sharp turn in the concrete path after the official entryway, you can see that he designed it to allow the visitor to make a conscious decision to enter that space, which I find fascinating. And you know the entranceway, how it's a real sharp and then this way? Mm-hmm. And not only that, there actually used to be a wall of trees that sort of divided the Australian war cemeteries and the Japanese war cemetery. And that wall of trees meant that when you were standing here at the entrance, you couldn't actually see through. So it was a very private space. However, about 5 years ago on Boxing Day, there was a huge storm that came through and that wall of trees was knocked down. And I think how symbolic. And that's what I just think is a beautiful story, that around 5 years ago that wall came down through natural which is really quite symbolic of the continued understanding and reconciliation between Cowra and Japan.
Lovely, lovely.
I didn't know that either. I mean, I knew about the storm, but to then be there with Lawrence and for me to make that connection, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's beautiful. Yeah, it really is gorgeous. So I don't know how this this goes with chopping and changing and what have you, but the actual entrance itself with these flowering blossom trees, it wasn't always this way. The area itself was rejuvenated it was 1994, at which time these stunning blossom trees were all planted, which gave perhaps a more fitting entryway to such a special place in Carra.
Do you want to just go back to the turning right? When you heard that, how did you feel? What significance?
Well, for me, I can't imagine needing to make a decision to walk through there. You know, I come from a different time and a different generation. But I reflect on conversations that I had with my grandmother when she was still alive, and some of the comments that she used to make about her reconciliation, I reflect on conversations that I used to have with my grandmother, where she would share with me her views on the Japanese even after the war, and I found it at the time I would be very uncomfortable with some of the things that she would say and about the way that she felt after the war, but I also respect that it's not my story, it's hers. But I feel the same way when I hear about the design of that entryway. I don't understand how those people perhaps felt back then, so I respect their views and the way things were back then. It's just completely different now, of course. I just find it fascinating that there was a design put in place to allow people to make a decision to walk into a space where people deserve respect and to be remembered, regardless of race or war. But it was a different time. Is that weird?
No.
I'm so conscious of not being, I don't know.
Is that a drone?
No, that sounds like a whippersnipper.
Yeah. Just let that go. It's quite loud.
You know what, all the key points really. The only other comment I could make would just be, you know, in my experience of face-to-face interaction with all of our visitors to Carra, the overwhelming response we have from the visitors that come to town that are moved by the story, learning about the story, whether or not their experience is initially watching our little hologram at the visitor centre as an introduction and then going up to the POW breakout site and the war cemetery and the peace precinct at large, and just constantly fielding comments from our visitors about their gratitude to be able to learn about the story. And there's just so much respect that comes across, it's constant, you know, it's a constant flow of visitors that are learning the story, and of a certain demographic as well. There's lots of travellers roaming around the countryside in their caravans, and you know, they're looking for stories and to unearth, different our history, our heritage, and they stumble across Carra, and they literally stumble across this story, and it's moving to see the response.
Were you born and bred in Carra?
No. No, I've been in Carra for 7 years. So I was born in Sydney. So I'm a Sydney girl, and I've been in the country now for 7 years.
When you learnt about the Carra story, what was your initial reaction? How did you feel when you heard about the story?
Well, probably much like our visitors to town. I didn't know much about it at all. In fact, before I came to Carra, I didn't even know about the Japanese garden. My interview was at the Japanese garden for the job, and I asked, how did I get there? So I'm sure they thought, what are we getting ourselves into here? It was a steep learning curve for me. Yeah. And how did I feel? I was shocked, really, that this had happened, that this story took place 3 hours from my home, and that I'd really never heard about it before.
When you say this story, you mean the Carra breakout?
Yes.
Can you say that again? So you were shocked. I was shocked that Carra breakout.
I was shocked that I wasn't aware that this story of the Cara breakout happened literally 3 hours from where I was brought up.
Shocked in what way? Because it was violent?
Yes. Yes, it was violent. And the act of the breakout and what happened that night, it is a violent story. And it's an incredibly sad story.
So the peace efforts of Cara, tell us a little bit about that. You know, if you were to narrate that peace and reconciliation story to me through the app, I've never been here before, how would you narrate it? I'm sure it'd be different from someone like Tony Mooney or Lawrence, because you're new.
Yes. So for me, I suppose Cara's piece, the reconciliation story of Cara, I think is driven by the people that live here. There's people here that are so passionate about continuing that education and continuing that relationship between Cara and Japan. Perhaps there's a responsibility, I'm not sure, that has been sort of passed down through the generations of people that have Cara running through their blood. You know what I'm saying? Because it's in their hearts to continue that relationship and continue telling that story. So I feel it's deeply embedded within them.
Is it in your heart now too, do you think?
Oh, it always will be, definitely, yep.
In what way? Like, how does it manifest? Like, you know, how has the Cara story changed you as a person, as a mother, as a worker, being in Cara?
How has it changed me? This is really early for such a question.
It's a hard question.
I like your support. I don't want to say this because it's probably not appropriate for the app, but I'll say it anyway. You can do what you want with it. As somebody that's never really had an interest or a passion in history or heritage growing up, and as you get older, you start to have an appreciation of learning and telling these stories. Coming to Cara was the perfect time for me in my mid-30s to move to a place that had such a significant story to tell. And whilst I'm not a local historian, and I never will be, I have deep respect for the people that are, and I have enjoyed working alongside those people to share the story with our visitors to Cara.
Do you think, like, you know, Cara's a small place, not many people know about it, not many people know this story. What's the significance of what's going on here, the whole, you know, peace and reconciliation, the passion people have to all of Australia, like, you know,
I do. I mean, I think I know what you're saying. In terms of what's happened here in Cara and the reconciliation and the understanding, which was really well before its time, perhaps the rest of the world could learn quite a lot from what Cara's citizens and the community have done in terms of rebuilding the relationship with the people of Japan. Gosh, wouldn't it be amazing if this circumstance was replicated across the world?
What do you think Cara's been able to do
it though? I think Cara's been able to do it because Cara's a genuinely, Cara's a country town that's welcoming, it takes the story, you know, a deeply embedded respect for the story and. Well, I mean, really, I reflect on the RSL sub-branch. They started it. They started that whole process by maintaining that space, and then it flowed on by individuals following that same path. You know, you've got individuals that were behind the Japanese garden that that was their life's, you know, I wouldn't say life's work because that's not fair for me to say, but I think it's a combination of the community wanting to continue to tell the story and individuals that were passionate about driving it and about building that infrastructure and creating those spaces to the point that we've got the Cowra Peace Precinct today, and then council. I mean, clearly they play an incredibly important part in continuing to maintain those spaces and to develop the Peace Precinct.
Yeah, so I just wanted to know if you could enlighten us on what it means to for community to look after graves of other people.
So when you ask that question, I reflect on a conversation that I did have with Lawrence, talking about when those graves were maintained after World War II by the RSL sub-branch, and when quizzed about those actions, the response is that, well, it's just the right thing to do. So it's the right thing to do, and the Cowra community has maintained those graves because, I mean, I don't know what other way to say it other than it is the right thing to do. It's humanitarian, it's respect, especially now that so much time has passed. I can't really delve into any other feelings other than just saying I just think it's just human to human, it's the right thing to do. End of day. I'm just sorry, I can't be even more in-depth.
Do you have any sort of stories about, either, it doesn't matter, it has to be the graves, but about the Peace Precinct, perhaps something, maybe some surprising reaction from one of the tourists or something that you've done with your kids or your family or something that kind of speaks to this, what you're telling us about the whole peace story of
I mean, I've been witness to people coming back to visit the war cemeteries, the Japanese war cemetery and the Australian war cemeteries, obviously on occasions, all the official occasions. I suppose for me there's been stories that, you know, individuals that have come back to, I don't know whether or not I want to get this right. See, I don't have the names, so I don't feel like I can say it, but I don't have personal accounts, but I've heard stories about people that have come back to where their relatives are buried and brought items like, for example, you know, I'm sure it was Don Kibler who told us a story about a family that came back to Cowra to visit their relative who was buried in the Japanese war cemetery, and the wife of the fallen soldier had a lock of hair that she wanted to bury there next to the grave, and she wanted to know whether or not she had permission to do this. And this gentleman had said, well, consider this your permission. Of course, please go ahead. And there she went and buried that little lock of hair next to her husband's grave. And there's stories along those lines where they're not my personal account because it's not my story, but witnessing and hearing stories like this, I mean, there must be hundreds of these stories along those lines of people that have come back, or the people have got those personal connections to what happened here in Cowra. Well, it's a physical connection, and, you know, because until people come here and you see their connection with their relatives that are laid to rest here, it's just a story, you know. But when you see that connection between their family members and their story comes to life.
That's great. Thank you. Anything you might like to say about some of the other stops, places to visit, because we're asking people not just to talk about their, because we're going to interweave all the voices together.
Right.
So, well, like, what's your favourite sport? Or
Now, obviously, there's your obvious ones, the Japanese Garden, et cetera. The Garrison Walk in that area, that scenic view over Cowra and looking down onto the POW camp and weaving around where perhaps it was the electrical huts and the administration side of the camp, I think that's quite a peaceful place. And I enjoy going up there with my family. Taking walks and reflecting. I always reflect on what happened every single time I go up there. You sort of look over that space, and it doesn't matter how many times you've been, that is the space, the story, Cowra's, the POW story. And it's just got a beautiful vista looking over the landscape with, of course, right in front of you, the POW camp, which timeless in terms of that empty space and what went on there, and just the relics and the sort of the old electrical hut and the old sort of foundations and the glimpses of the time gone by.
Do you have children?
I do.
And they were born in Cowra?
Yes.
And you're raising them here. What, tell me about, what they are. You're from Sydney, but you have Cowra children. How are they going to carry on this story into the future? How has the peace affected the end?
There are really little.
Yeah, there are only very, very little. 2 and 4. So that's not something that, we've discussed. Mm-hmm. I can't even take my little four-year-old to watch the hologram. Just yet. But I have all intentions of making sure that obviously that they're aware of and that they appreciate and that they have a full understanding of Cowra's reconciliation story by all means. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not growing up in Cowra, that story will become part of them, just like I believe it has for the people who have been born here and grown up here as well.
Can you just say I have two children? Can you just say I have two children who were born in?
I have two children that are born in Cowra.
Is the story a part of you, do you think? The Cowra story?
It is now, yes. The Cowra story is part of me now. Wow, gosh, probably because I've told it over and over. The story's part of me now because I'm part of this community and I have been now for 7 years, and it's my job to tell the Cowra story, but it's also now, sorry. So, yes, the Cowra story, my job is to tell the Cowra story. But having been a community member here now for 7 years and embracing the Cowra community, it's now part of me as well. I live it. So I've been living this story now for 7 years. I've been living in this community. I've been sharing this story now for 7 years. It opened my eyes, and I think anyone will be changed by that. So it's part of who I am.
It's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you to just be quiet for like 15 seconds, then okay?